From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, we take a more in-depth look at the numbers released last week by NOAA Fisheries, and Kenai fishermen share their experiences with VIRS. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Alaska State labor economists have reported that plentiful groundfish harvest last year contributed to an employment boost in Alaska's commercial fishing sector. A new report from the Alaska Department of Labor shows that the number of commercial fishing jobs in the state increased by 0.7% in 2014, while jobs tied exclusively to groundfish jumped nearly 25%. Economist Joshua Warren told KTUU-TV that the past year was the best for groundfish employment since 2000. Groundfish makes up the majority of Alaska's overall seafood harvest in weight and value. According to the report, Southeast Alaska has the highest percentage of seafood harvest employment overall in the state. The Aleutian Islands and Pribilof Islands earned a second-place ranking, and the South Central region came in third. For all its slime and rough times, fishing also inspires some poetic rhymes, shared by a gathering of fishermen poets in Soldotna. KDLL's Jenny Nyman has more.
The season's catch is sold. Now it's time for the stories to be told. That's the premise of Fisher Poet events, such as the one held October 22nd at Kenai Peninsula College's Kenai River Campus. To gather after fishing season to swap stories, share laughs, and celebrate the commonalities of those who make their living from the sea.
The commercial fishermen that I know, even though they make their living harvesting salmon, they love the salmon. Alaska loves salmon, and it's obvious, and a lot of what I talk about is about a connection with the salmon and wanting to protect the salmon in Alaska.
That's Clark Whitney, the MC for the event. He dipped his toe into Fisher Poets waters in 2003, and since then has participated in events on the Kenai Peninsula and elsewhere in Alaska, and the Mothership event, the annual Fisher Poets gathering, held in Astoria, Oregon, each February.
I love hearing this stuff. Probably most of you do, too. It just brings you back, and it helps you remember, you know, stories that you have. And I know that everyone in here has lived in Alaska and knows Alaska and can really relate to the things that we're saying tonight.
Brent Johnson long ago cast his lot in the salt water, having just finished his 50th season set netting in Cook Inlet off Clam Gulch. He still hasn't lost his taste for it.
Hamburger is low on ham, I know, but it makes articular plaque, which in time can squeeze one's arteries and lead to heart attack. The salmon fillet is high, they say, in acids that help our innards. I guess it clears the vascular gears and tastes great for our dinners.
Meezy Hermanson is another whose fishing history goes back as far as her memories, set netting with her family in Cook Inlet at Coho Beach. She can't imagine a life without fishing, nor without appreciation for those fish.
Life feeds on life, a friend wistfully said. He is right. It is the way of all flesh. But if I ever become callous to that fact, if I ever see you as just another piece of silver and feel joy with no regret, I will know I have fished too long to say, bless you.
Steve Schoonmaker started fishing out of Kodiak in 1982 and now has a salmon permit out of Cordova. Though he's taken his living from fish for over 30 years, he's remained mindful to be appreciative of the resource and to seek to protect it. Much of his poetry reflects that ecological perspective.
From where I am in this world, there's a small harbor town where the pulse of vitality is the ocean and the sound and the streams of the uplands, yeah, and the constants of rain, and fishing fleet and muscle with acute growing pains, maintaining those harvests the loans have to claim, where the salmon know not but anadromous ways, ancient as rains that are gathered away with the souls of the flows down our watercourse ways. From where I am.
The evening represented set netters, drift netters, those who have fished for crab, for pollock, for salmon, all over the state and all harvesting a different set of experiences. But there was at least this in common, the desire to keep fishing as long as they're able.
I cling. to the last vestige of my heritage. I cling like barnacles cling to a ship, like rock climbers cling to a grip, like skinny jeans cling to the hip, and dog hair clings to polar fleece.
In Kenai, I'm Jenny Nyman.
The water provides something solid that land never can. Though people don't understand the need to quit the land.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Last week, we gave you the quick thumbnail sketch of figures from the just-released Commercial Fishing Review of 2014 from NOAA Fisheries. This week, KDLG's Molly Dishner goes a little more in-depth.
NOAA's 2014 Annual Fisheries Report is about 150 pages of fish numbers and facts for the entire country. Scattered throughout are a couple of interesting tidbits. For one, imports and exports of seafood increased last year. We imported almost $36 billion worth of fish products. Richard Merrick is NOAA Fisheries' chief scientist.
Our country imports still most of its seafood, and we love the shrimp, salmon, and tuna that come from overseas, and these continue to be our top imports.
And we exported about $30 billion worth of seafood last year. Merrick says we also ate a little more fish.
Our per capita consumption increased slightly, with each of us eating an average of 14.6 pounds of seafood last year.
No number available for Alaskans, but we're guessing it's a little higher than that. In terms of total consumption, that's all the seafood eaten across the country, statistician Alan Lowther says America is now number two.
We've historically been third. It was China, Japan, and the United States. The significance of that is just really that we've surpassed Japan.
The report also confirms what most Alaskans already know. There's a lot of seafood moving across our docks. Dutch Harbor, Kodiak, and the other Aleutian Islands ports combined took the number one, two, and three spots in terms of the quantity of seafood moving across their docks in 2014. New Bedford, Massachusetts had the largest value of fish at its port, followed by Dutch and Kodiak. And Naknek's port of Bristol Bay moved up in the rankings for 2014. NOAA says $135 million worth of seafood crossed the docks there, making it the number five port in the country for value. In terms of quantity, it was the number 10 port in the nation, with 133 million pounds. All other Bristol Bay ports combined, that includes Dillingham, got the number 10 slot in terms of value, with an estimated $82 million worth of fish moving across the docks here. Some other fun numbers? Crab is the nation's priciest catch. It was worth about $685 million last year. Salmon was number four, worth about $616 million. By weight, pollock is the nation's number one catch at 3.1 billion pounds. Salmon, number five, 720 million. The report also looks at what happens to America's catch. Last year, processors made fewer salmon steaks and fillets and less breaded shrimp, but more cod fillets and more fish sticks. In Dillingham, I'm Molly Dishner.
The European Union is looking into reports that cheap seafood there is often mislabeled as choice fish in some of the Belgian capital's finer restaurants and even in EU cafeterias. The Oceania Environmental Group said Tuesday it found that 30% of seafood it tested in and around EU institutions in Brussels was a different fish than was labeled on the menu. The announcement comes just after Oceania reported that it collected 82 salmon samples from restaurants and supermarkets in the United States and found that 43% were mislabeled. In nearly 70% of the cases, DNA testing confirmed that farmed Atlantic salmon was being sold as wild-caught.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you by Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay, permit holders and fishing groups standing together to protect and enhance the renewable fishing jobs and businesses of the Bristol Bay region.
And by
Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Because of Alaska's ongoing budget crisis, state agencies cut spending this year and are planning additional reductions in the next few years. For the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, those cuts have meant less monitoring of fish runs, a change that will lead to more conservative management and less fishing opportunity. That was the message from Fish and Game officials to the UFA that met in Petersburg last week. Joe Vicnicki reports.
ADF&G Commissioner Sam Cotton told the board members of the United Fishermen of Alaska at its fall meeting in Petersburg that the department is looking at several years of budget reductions.
Last year, I think we took an 18% cut, and the governor's asking for another 10, and the legislature is not going to be satisfied with that. So it isn't a matter of whether our budget's going to get cut. It's a matter of how much. But we would like your help on the where part.
The department's total spending this year is over $208 million, with $65 million of that coming from the state's general fund. And more than half of that general fund money goes to fund programs in the commercial fisheries division. That general fund portion was cut from $80 million the year before. In Southeast, programs that were reduced or eliminated were red king crab research, salmon aerial surveys, herring management and studies, port sampling, and several weirs for counting salmon. Other cuts were made to sockeye salmon stock assessment and rockfish surveys. Elsewhere around the state, cuts were made to herring monitoring and sampling, fish counting sonars, habitat mapping, aerial surveys, weirs, and salmon counting towers. Deputy Commissioner Kevin Brooks says the department has looked to cut out time on the shoulder seasons, the beginning and end of salmon runs, for monitoring equipment or programs.
So the first thing we're doing is we are cutting back on the shoulders. We're shortening, if we had a weir, we might go back to a tower or doing an aerial survey, something that's less expensive and less precise, or shortening the time a weir might be in the water. But at some point, we can't just take incremental cuts, we have to eliminate the project.
Weirs, towers, sonar, aerial surveys, and sampling are all tools that managers use to count fish and determine strength and timing of returns. That information is used to decide how long and where commercial fishing fleets get to fish. In a budget handout given to the UFA board, the department said less precise data means more conservative management in the future and less opportunity to harvest for all users of the state's resources. The department is also looking at consolidating administrative staff and cost savings that could come with a proposed reorganization or elimination of the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. That's the organization in charge of vessel licensing and permits for commercial fisheries. Commercial fleets and processing companies pay tens of millions of dollars of taxes to the state each year, and that number fluctuates with the changing volume of the catch and the changing dollar amount for that catch. Industry members said they would continue to advocate for the fish and game budget in the state legislature and noted the importance of the Commercial Fisheries Division in the overall department's operations. UFA members also asked for greater transparency in the state budgets. They wanted to see easily understandable spending plans with program costs down to specific line items so they could suggest spending cuts. The governor's budget proposal for next year is due out in December. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company.
That's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Molly Dishner in Dillingham, KFSK's Joe Vicnicki in Petersburg, and KDLL's Jenny Nyman in Kenai. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.